Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yeah, we're going to be going on where we're just a bit delayed because we've been trying to get a hold of you. We are going to actually talk to you about how God speaks to us through the Bible. And, you know, can you believe that there was a time when God spoke to humanity face to face? Yeah. I wonder what changed this dynamic and if there is still a way to communicate to God today. So we're going to be getting this lesson from our brother, Mr. D. Moyo. Now, my brother, please do summarize the lesson. How exactly did our face-to-face communion with God cease to be the norm? Take us through the lesson.
So this is really what happened. I love the way that you've introduced it, Zama, to say that there was, can you believe that there was once a time we used to be able to talk face-to-face with God, where the human race could be face-to-face with God without any troubles whatsoever, nothing in between us and our God. But then if we were to find out what it was, would it be something that we would want to get rid of? To say, if we could just get rid of that one thing, to be able to be face to face with God once again, we would probably be much more joyful for that fact. But to put it very bluntly, the Bible actually does tell us that while in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, it says after Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. What was it that caused that to happen? And you realize what happened just before that was they had eaten of the tree which God had told them not to eat of. Basically, they had listened to another voice besides the voice of God. They had decided to listen to the enemy. And this is something that we call disobedience, or basically sin entered the world. So when sin entered the world, this interrupted the face-to-face communication that the human race had with God. And this is the sad thing about it. What is it that actually caused it? If we were to answer it very quickly, it would be sin is what has caused this rift between us and God. And most times we would just think that, oh well, that's a very small answer, just to say sin. Isn't that very general? But we should remember just how big of an issue sin is. Just because it's three letters does not mean that it is a small matter. If sin caused us, or rather our sins have turned us away from our God, or from seeing God as he is, this is what actually caused that communion to cease between us and God. However, we do know that God has prepared ways to make sure that we can still hear his voice. We can still commune with him.
Yeah.
It may not be face to face in this world that we're in right now, but it will be, but it still works out for our salvation and still for our instruction. We can still hear his voice today.
Lovely. Now, how does he then, because you're saying that he still made a way to be able to communicate with us, and so that we can also still hear him today. So how did he communicate with his people after the sin entered the world then?
So after sin entered the world, God had put in place. The good thing is these are not things that God just suddenly said, well, I don't know how I'm going to communicate. Let's just find a way. And some, it's not like some days there's bad network the same way that we had while we were trying to communicate now.
Yeah.
But in the case of us and God, we are told in, I'll give you two verses. One, God spoke through the prophet Amos, depending on how you want to say that, chapter 3 and verse 7. Chapter 3 and verse 7 of Amos, or Amos as you want to put it, says this: surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servant the prophet. Now, remember that the Bible has, and also secondly, I would like to put this forward. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to us for instruction, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So if we want to hear what the Lord has to say, there is the law and the prophets. That is what God has said in the Old Testament and what God has said in the New Testament. But also, so God has not left us in the dark. His word, that is the word of God, the same one that Jesus used when he came face to face with the tempter in the desert. He said, "It is written." The reason why he used the word of God was because that is still the word that God uses to speak to us today, if we would want to listen to it. There's a lovely verse that actually says that if we, God actually says, he doesn't want to hide from us. He's the one who seeks us out. But he also says that if you search for me, you will find me, if you search for me with all your heart. And so that is how God continues to speak to us. Yes, through his word, through his prophets. So his prophets have spoken to us through his word. And if anyone speaks outside of the law and the prophets, there is no light in them. This is what I would put it forward as. I know I've covered many things, but because we don't have as much time because of our connection that we didn't have earlier.
Yeah.
But yes, shortly put, the Bible and the Bible alone is our word. And if anything contradicts that, put the Bible on top of that.
Lovely. Now, in terms of the prophets, I heard you mentioning some earlier prophets. But do we still have prophets today? Mm. Or maybe do we have other means to communicate with God?
So first and foremost, let's always stick to what the Bible says. The Bible says that in the last days, yes, the Spirit of God will be poured out, and your young men will dream dreams, your old men will see visions. So yes, God still does speak through prophets even today. The Bible does not say that the gifts of God or the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. It does not say that. However, remember, and so do people still receive dreams from God? We still get the testimonies of many people who have received visions and even dreams from God. However, there we should also beware that we are not deceived. The Bible tells us to test the Spirit. How do we test the Spirit? The Bible tells us, according to the law and to the prophets, if they do not speak according to the word of God, if they contradict the word of God, then we can be safe. We can safely say, this is not a prophet of God. This is not someone who I should be listening to. So yes, God still has prophets. God still speaks today, but the primary means of communicating with God is prayer and the word and studying his word. Because if we can go according to, we will not know God's voice unless we see how he speaks throughout the Bible. When another voice comes along, we can tell whether it's false or whether it's true, because we have listened to the one who gave us his word in the first place.
Thank you for that.
But then I would want to ask, how dangerous is that to actually believe that there are prophets today? Some would say that maybe we shouldn't even believe that there are prophets at all. Should we say that, Zama? I don't know.
I wonder, though, because we hear that there's prophets all over the show. I mean, you go to every corner,
all every over the place.
Church, there's a prophet this, a prophet that, a prophet that. And so there's a prophet. I think perhaps the safer way is what you were saying, that maybe we need to test, the prophets and see if they are, you know, all of the criteria, actually, that you have given us may then be necessary. But then you say that the best way is through Bible study and prayer. That's how we can communicate with God. Please just break it down a bit, because if I read the Bible, I get a Bible from a friend. My brother, please borrow me the Bible, and I read the Bible, and I then pray, and then I finish, I go to work. How would I have spoken to God? How would have spoken to me? But please break it down.
Okay, let me break it down practically like this. The way that God decides to communicate with us now is, yes, definitely through his word. So yes, you wake up in the morning, let's not take it as something that is just a routine. remember that we are told that the word of God is powerful and is much more powerful than any two-edged sword, splitting between spirit and cutting between soul and spirit. The idea being that God's word is a living word. If we approach it from the point of view that I want with prayerfully studying out the Bible, I'm not saying that then you will start to hear an audible voice, but you will definitely start to see, not only just as reading it just so that you can read, but remember that the Bible tells us to be doers of the word. Because if we're just talking about studying, you can read through the Bible front to back, but if you don't let the word read through you to say, Lord, I want that transformation that comes from reading your word to wash me with the purification of your word, then we will see more sure changes in our lives. And I will say this, something connected to what we were talking about yesterday. If we're looking at the Bible with the aim of it transforming our lives, not just so that we can know more, but that we can know him, that is where we will start to see that the Lord is actually.
Not easy for a starter. I mean, if a person is actually just starting out and has never really interacted with this, I'm thinking it will probably feel empty, don't you think? My brother? Ooh, I think we lost him there. We lost him as the time was also shutting down on us. Brother Moyo?
Yes, I think we'll be able to conclude. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. I'm not sure what happened to our line. Right, let's conclude then. So it's all well and good advising that you've got to be able to listen, to be able to practicalize all of the things that we're doing. And I was saying perhaps when you were out and could not hear me, that it could be a little bit of a difficult endeavor for a person who is starting out, who's never touched the Bible and don't know what to do. And you're saying that they should do all of this. It could actually feel just like reading any other book.
Overwhelming,
yeah.
Mm. So here's what I would say from a practical sense point of view. I'll tell you only from my own experience as well. At first, beginning out, I remember looking at my Bible thinking, well, this is just too big to be looking at it and just be able to say that what you're telling me, that this Bible can change my life, or that somehow this is different from any other book. So, and I'll tell you this, maybe it wasn't it may not have been the right thing, because I was just starting out as a Christian with my proper relationship with God. But I told God, okay, you say in your word, Matthew 6 verse 33, that if we seek you first, then all these other things will be added unto us.
Yeah.
And I kind of took it as a challenge to be able to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to put your word first. I'm going to, before I study out all the things I'm supposed to do for school, I'm going to take an hour to go through your word. Now, am I saying that I expected that everything was going to be added to me that same day? No. But I'll definitely tell you this, as time went on, remember, a relationship is not made in a day. So even though at the beginning I really felt like, am I not just wasting my time?
Mm-hmm.
Time went on. Even if it was just one verse, you start to see that God has consideration of every part of our lives. Now, for me, I went through the Proverbs, and it helped me to realize that, wait, when God talks about wisdom and talks about fools and wisdom, you want to live like the wise. So it was small parts first. I'm not going to say that everything changes all at once, and that wasn't my experience. It may be someone else's, but we should take God at his word and take him at his challenge to say, okay, I may not know everything. It may not be, I may even look at your book as just being one of another book. Lord, you show me that your word is different from every other book. And I'm telling you, the Lord will not disappoint. Let his word be the one that stands. I guarantee you that, well, I'm not the one who guarantees that. It's actually God who does. So take it up, even if it's just a verse a day from the Gospels, and ask God for it to change our lives. It will indeed change our lives.
Wow, beautiful stuff. I think those are practical steps that you have helped us with, and I think we but together with the listeners but to truly appreciate and understand exactly where you come from with this. Thank you so much, my brother. Blessings to you.
No, thank you very much, Vzana, and you have a blessed day, and dear listener, you have a blessed day.
Lovely. Thank you. Goodbye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.